every time, and yet it perfectly establishes a foundation for the message. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. This has been on my heart. I love passages of Scripture where we get a peek into the mind of God. And this is one of them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would speak loud and clear to our hearts and minds. Lord, break through the facade. Break through the barriers that we spoke of this morning. Help us to see where we may act in pretense and not in truth. Help us to see where we go through motions and our heart is not in tune. Help us to see it, Father. We pray that You would minister Your Spirit even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Think about that. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his people. The most godly people on the planet. The people who are the most doctrinally right on the planet. The people who believed in the one true God. Jesus said to the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. You know not what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And that was a true statement. And that's the people he's talking about here. As a general rule, the Jews were the ones who understood God more than every other nation on earth. And yet, they had some things in their life called self-imposed limitations. Barriers that they set up that they were not going to go beyond that. And so Jesus says the heart of His people has become waxed, become gross. Sluggish. Their ears have become dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Did they think so? No, they didn't think so. But what was standing in the way of lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. And I should heal them. What does this mean? Was Jesus just speaking of physical healing? No, He was already healing them physically. Okay? The healing of them physically did not require them to be converted first. They did not all have to become disciples in order to be healed physically. He's speaking of a much deeper healing. All of Christ's physical healing while on earth was to be a type of something higher and bigger,
right,
of spiritual healing. The only reason He healed them physically is so that they would believe He could heal them spiritually.
Right.
Which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins,
right,
rise up and walk.
Amen.
Okay? The physical healing was there only to show that He indeed had power to heal otherwise.
Right.
Okay? Now, what does it mean? And I should heal them. What is in the mind of God when He looks and says, and I should heal them, that they might be converted and I should heal them? What was He looking at? I believe He was saying, I want to erase all the effects of the fall. Everything. This healing requires first conversion. We say, oh, I'm converted. Are you completely converted? The word converted doesn't mean I've joined with the Christians. That's a conversion. But converted has to do with I have been now changed to a new purpose. Nathan brought this up in his message on Watch Night. Converting a cable dozer to a hydraulic dozer. Okay, things are different now. I've seen a tractor converted to a forklift. They turned the seat around, the steering wheel around, they put forks out the back. It was a tractor, but it was converted to a forklift. Once it's a forklift, it's no longer a tractor in the way it was. It can't do what it once did. It does different things now. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. God's goal is to convert you and then to heal you. Do you have a full understanding of what that means? In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. They were converted.
Yes.
Now, were they all healed? Not completely. That was something that was going to be going on for some time now. Ephesians 4:17. Turn there if you would. Notice the converting and the healing that God desires. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. You need to be converted to a new walk. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, that's the heart waxed gross, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Apostle Paul is looking at the Ephesians. He's looking at the Corinthians. The Spirit of God is upon him, the same Spirit that was upon Jesus. And he has the same desire. He says, I don't want your hearts to wax gross and your ears to be dull of hearing. I don't want you to close your eyes because you have this false sense of arrival. You have a false sense of I'm good enough. I'm wise enough. I'm smart enough. I'm holy enough. And so therefore, you cannot continue on in your healing. And the Apostle Paul looks at them and says, I want you to be converted to God's purposes and then be healed. There's two steps there. What is the end goal? Well, Ephesians 5:25, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify, set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, ultimately, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You say, oh, I want that. That's a beautiful picture. We read in Revelation where the marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride has made herself ready and she's dressed all in white, which is the righteousness of saints. And we envision ourselves being there and being a part of that. But first you must be healed. You say, heal what? As God looks at our lives, what needs healed? Well, what has the fall affected? What has the fall affected? We were raised in a fallen environment. We were raised by fallen parents in a fallen world. What has that affected? It has affected everything. Everything. God wants to heal all your relationships. Order, character, discipline, attitude, values, standards, your mental and emotional well-being, your speech, your manners, your conclusions, your mode of evaluating life and circumstances, your doctrine, your viewpoint, your opinion, your priorities, your habits, everything has to be healed. You can never say, well, this is just the way I am. You can never say, well, it's the way we've always done it. You can never say, well, I think.
That's right.
You can't get by on that. You can't live on that. You can't just trust that you've arrived in any area because it all needs healed.
Right.
The question is, do you want to be healed? What is standing in the way? A sluggish heart, eyes that are closed. Oh, my eyes aren't closed. They may be closed to that area of healing.
That's right.
They may be open, just like the Israelites. Well, we do this and this and this. God says, what about this?
Yes.
I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So the question is, how bad do we want to be healed? Holy. Jesus, when He healed people, He said, thou art made whole. What does that mean? That means before, something was missing, something was broken, something was lacking, something was out of place, therefore there was physical deformity. When He said, thou art made whole, that means everything's in its place, doing its part, what it's supposed to do. Everything is doing what it's supposed to do at the time it's supposed to do it, and so physically you are made whole. Now, do you want to be spiritually made whole? God wants His men. What does God want from His men? He wants them to be Christian gentlemen. Have godly character, wisdom, self-control, patient, humble, a servant spirit, a noble demeanor. Is that what you want? Oh, I'm good enough. I'm better than so-and-so. Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Jesus says, I'm looking. I'm seeing people. I'm seeing that they need to be converted to God's purposes. You see, we were talking about pride and humility during Sunday school. Humility, like Brother Jeff, I think it was Brother Paul brought up, is me looking at God and saying, God, can I help with your program? Hey, God, I want to be a part of your program. Pride is saying, God, I want to enlist you in my program. And there's a lot of people who pray and they, you know, howl upon the beds, all the stuff we talked about, and it's because they're wanting to enlist God in their program. And they go to, they give sacrifices, they give their tithes, they say, I go to church every Sunday, and this why? Because I want to enlist God in my program.
Yep.
That's not what it's about. Jesus said, you need to be converted.
Right.
That means you need to be converted to God's program.
Right.
And then you need to be healed because even though you're converted to a different purpose, you're not ready to fulfill that purpose.
Right.
You're not ready to fulfill that purpose the way God wants it fulfilled. There's mental healing, there's emotional healing, and healing means something's missing, something's broken, something's out of place, Something's not functioning right. You're not thinking straight. You have wrong expectations. You have wrong evaluations. You have wrong conclusions. You have self-imposed limitations. You're not responding right. You're not reacting right. You're not seeing. I like that where in that Sir Malcolm, Dame Martha, he says, "Well, you know, how do I know what to do?" She says, "You've got to learn to see. You've got to learn to see." Was it Nathan on Watch Night or Malachi? One of them mentioned, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, isn't it a glorious thing when a child gets their heart turned to God and they want to be holy? And so it's not just a matter of skirting around the authority or dodging the authority or avoiding the work. Now they see that the trash is overflowing.
Yeah.
And they do something. They can see that there's stuff on the floor. And they act upon it. They can see that something needs picked up. They can see that something needs put away. They can see something's out of order. The wood box is empty. They can see it.
Amen.
That's part of being healed.
Yes.
God is trying to heal you. The young ladies. God wants you to be Christian ladies. Oh, I think I'm ladylike enough. What does God say? What does God see? God wants you to act like a lady, sit like a lady, walk like a lady, talk like a lady. God wants you to be meek and quiet and unselfish, a servant spirit. Do you want to be healed? You have been affected by the fall. Oh, I don't like doing inside stuff. I want to go do the outside stuff with the boys. I've heard that how many times by different people. Their girls are here and they, well, she's just an outdoors person. Well, maybe she needs to learn to sew. Maybe she needs to learn to keep house. Maybe she needs to learn to do dishes. She wants to be out doing what the boys are doing. You need to be healed.
Yes.
Children, parenting. Does God need to heal our parenting? We've been affected by the fall. The question is, do we have eyes to see? Do we have ears to hear? Do we have a heart to understand? Do we understand that I'm sick. I'm broken. I need healed. Oh yes, my heart may be right with God. I may be wanting to do His purposes. But am I willing to be polished and changed? Am I willing to become the man or the woman, the young lady or the young man, the father, the mother? Am I willing to become what God envisions for me? Young men, are you good enough? You have enough character, enough manners. Are you content with your attitude towards mother, father, brothers, sisters, church people, chores, responsibilities? Are you content with that? You're good enough. Yes, I'm good enough. Don't push me too far. Don't expect too much. I'm better than George. Jesus says, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. They've heard so much they don't want to hear anymore. Their eyes, they've closed. I don't want to see anymore. I've changed a lot. Look at all I've changed. Look at all I've done. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to see anymore. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart what God envisions and should be converted and I should heal them. Christ wants to heal you. Young ladies, are you a finished product? Fathers, are you the man God wants you to be? Mothers, are you the wise, meek, holy, and submissive vessel God envisions? Parents, are you satisfied with the fruit of your home? Is it everything God ever wanted it to be? Your marriage. Or do you say, oh Lord, heal me? In Revelation 3:15, we see this same spirit in a Christian church that he saw in Israel. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now why? Why? Think about it. Listen. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's a result of a heart that is waxed gross. In other words, you're not sensitive to your need. Ears are dull of hearing. I've changed enough. I've heard enough. I've learned enough. I know it all. I don't need to learn anymore. I'm not hungry for more. The eyes, they've closed. I can see just fine, thank you. Their ears are dull of hearing. He says, so I can't heal them. I can't heal them. He says, because thou seest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked compared to what I want you to be. Maybe not compared to the heathen, not compared to the Romans, not compared to the pagans in Laodicea, but compared to what I envision for you, you're poor and wretched and blind and naked. Well, as long as you're looking at everybody else in Laodicea, you look really good. This was a first century apostolic church. This would probably put every church in America to shame. They had pure doctrine. Nothing said about false doctrine. Nothing said about being out of order. Nothing said about their, being immodest or overlooking sin or having a Jezebel teaching. No, they just came to a false sense of arrival. They just put up limitations. We're good enough. We're wise enough. We're holy enough. My manners are good enough, thank you. I don't need to work on my manners. I don't need to work on my speech. I don't need to work on my attitude anymore. It's good enough. Have need of nothing. Well, thinking that we have need of nothing means what? It means we're poor, wretched, blind, and naked. Thinking that I'm good enough means what? It means I'm poor, wretched, blind, and naked. Anytime you get to the point where you think, I'm good enough, Jesus says, but you know not. Are you praying for God's ISAB today? Oh, well, I'm in good standing with the church. So were those Jews who had hard hearts and closed ears. And the fact is, them being in good standing with their church, their group, is the very reason why their heart was hard and their ears were closed. That's why. Because they had arrived where they wanted to arrive. They had reached the point where they wanted to reach. All my friends think I'm spiritual. You know, this is a nice spot right here. I'm where I want to be. On last night's service, I was observing, and I saw something that reminded me. Okay. These are three different piles. One is cement. One is sand. And one is gravel. And I believe that would represent a lot of the different personalities and gifts and people that were represented and manifested the different ways of teaching and preaching and just the different personalities in our church. Different families were represented there. Now, it's very common for those in this category to gravitate to those in this category. And maybe to judge others by their category. It's very common for those here to feel more comfortable with their own kind. And same with the gravel. Feel more comfortable with their own kind. If you were to add the water of the Word to each pile individually, you're really not going to get anything useful. If you added water plus cement plus sand, and this is what you had, you're going to get a weak grout. If you added the cement and the gravel and water, you're going to get weak, ugly concrete. If you added water to the sand and the gravel together, you're going to get a pile of wet sand and gravel. When Jesus looks at a church and says, I want to heal you, he envisions putting all these together with the water of the Word and getting some strong concrete.
That's right, man.
It takes all three to make. If you just mix, if you leave any one of them out, you don't have concrete. The aggregate adds strength, necessary strength. Without the sand, you can't finish it. There needs to be the gravy, the grout in there. The cement bonds it. Otherwise, it all falls apart. You've got to have all three to have concrete. Now, if all we do is compare ourselves among ourselves and gravitate to those who we feel more comfortable with or those who are just like us or this or that, we're not going to complete His program.
Right.
If we're converted to His program, He wants to take us and mix us all together with the water of the Word and make us something useful. By ourselves, we're not. That's why He put us in a body. All alone by ourselves, thinking we're super spiritual. Well, after all, you know, I'm the best bonding agent. But what good are you? When I got a bag of cement that gets wet and gets hard, I throw it away.
That's right.
Wet sand, what's that going to do for you?
Amen. That's good.
If you think everyone should be gravel like you, you're missing God's way of doing things. Can you humbly realize your need for God's other ingredients? Can you fill your role without despising the other components? Can the sand appreciate the strength of the gravel? Can the gravel appreciate the bonding and smoothing ability of the sand? Can the sand and gravel appreciate the fine and smooth bonding power of the cement? If you feel like, well, sand, after all, you know, we're the middle of the road because they're too coarse and they're too fine. We're the sand. We're right in the middle. Well, then you're just a pile of sand. Good for you. They can only come together with the water of the Word. If they all stay with their own kind, they will never fulfill their potential or the purpose of the Maker. I observed something else on our trip to North Carolina. Traveled on many highways with people I didn't know. I remember one night coming back from the Terrence, back through Charlotte and up there. I could see the freeways flowing like you see these microscopic pictures of blood vessels. All flowing and everything going, you know, like a huge body with all the blood veins of all the cars taking the nutrients and doing all their tasks, running here and there. And I thought as I was watching, bumper to bumper, 70 miles an hour. I don't know these people. We didn't rehearse this. There's no acquaintance with the other drivers. No outside control to coordinate and harmonize the flow. And yet, we were making it happen.
Right.
70, 80 mile an hour, bumper to bumper through here. People getting off, people getting on, people changing lanes. I mean, it was like we had all practiced. What was the secret? What is it that makes all these people cooperate so well? How do all these people work together without continual confusion and catastrophe? You know, there's a lot of unexpected things. Weather conditions, wind, sun, animals. What's the secret? The secret is every single person wants it to work. Everybody wanted it to work. They all wanted to get home safe. Nobody wanted to wreck their car or damage their body. They understood that it is vital that everyone follow the program so everyone gets home safe. When the sign says stop, they stopped. When the light says go, they go. When the light says turn, they turn. When it says yield, they yield. Then most of them understand the need to harmonize with the flow of traffic. Every now and then there's someone who is an independent soul, and the flow of traffic may be going 80, but the speed limit sign says 65. So they insist on going 65, and everybody's going 80, and everybody's going around them. They don't understand that when you take driver's ed, they say, go with the flow of traffic. If the flow of traffic's moving 80, just move with the flow of traffic. Don't insist on everybody changing for you. Now, obviously, there's ways in life when we don't follow the flow. Okay, we don't go with the flow of the crowd and so forth. We're going to do what's right. But when you follow, when it comes to traffic, doing what's right is staying with the flow. Because otherwise you cause a ball up, you cause a bottleneck. When someone acts contrary to the rules and causes damage to themselves and almost always others, we call it an accident. Why? We assume it wasn't on purpose. That's why. Why? Why do we assume that? Because we know that normal people want it to work. Normal people want to get home safe. Normal people don't want to damage their car. And then normal people know that following the rules is the best way to get home safe. We all have an investment in our vehicle. People who are given a car don't seem to care so much about all these issues as those who have worked hard and bought their car. Well, there's something to apply there as well. If there is ever someone who makes up their own rules as they go, works contrary to established traffic rules, they always end up crashing and causing others close to them to be damaged. We call them a reckless fool. Now, when Jesus converts men, they all want the church program to work. The church is the healing program. It is the washing. It is the sanctifying. It is the writing of God's words in our hearts, His commandments in our hearts. It is His program for healing those who are converted. The dynamic of the crucible, Jesus said that I may heal them. Well, He works through His church
right,
to heal us. Well, when we are converted and we have turned from sin, we all have an investment in God's kingdom. We all want to get home safe. We all want to avoid damage and death. We all understand the best way for everyone to reach their goals and get home safe is to carefully follow the program. When the sign says stop, they stop. When the sign says yield, they yield. They harmonize with the flow of traffic. They stay in their lane and pass with care. They don't run someone off the road because they weren't paying attention. They don't, you know, it's not right to be a road hog. That's not going to help the program. That's not going to help. A slow poke doesn't help. You don't drive half asleep. Don't swerve for dogs.
Amen.
Run them over. Don't swerve for dogs. Don't swerve and risk wrecking someone else
because
the dog's in the way. Don't drive under the influence of bad spirits.
Amen.
Don't take those bad spirits and then you won't have to drive under their influence. Don't go too fast. Slow down when the conditions are dangerous. When everyone wants it to work, it works beautifully. I was watching this massive five-lane freeway. I saw the headlights. And I see all these red headlights moving over this freeway, getting off and getting on. And just like, wow, what an organization. Nobody practiced. Nobody rehearsed it. But it's all working beautifully. Jesus is looking at your life. He's looking at your marriage. He's looking at your manners. He's looking at your relationships, your attitudes, your speech. He's looking at your thought processes. You know, we live in an age where everybody thinks somebody owes them something. He's looking at your priorities, values, your opinions, your character. Do you think that everybody ought to be ministering to you? Or do you think that you ought to be ministering to everyone? One's healed and one's a result of the fall. Do you feel that, I mean, do you believe that when you show love, you certainly ought to get plenty of it back? How do you face life? How do you know you need healed? Physically, when there are symptoms of illness. Did God make your nose to run continually? Or is that a symptom of something wrong? Did God make your body, your eye, to be all swelled up? Or did He make it to where it was supposed to be, you know, normal, be able to see? Symptoms of something not working like it should means there needs healing. So, are we willing to open our heart? Say, God, open my heart. Open my eyes. Open my ears. I want to be converted to your program. I'm not just trying to enlist you in my program. I want to be converted to your program. And God, I want to be healed. I want to be healed in the way I use money, the way I use time, the way I use my thought life, my attitude, the way I respond to people, good and bad, and what motivates me? What gets my attention? Why do I do what I do? Heal me, Lord. Erase the effects of my fall, the fallen nature. Erase the effects of my bad raising, or my, the home I had, the environment, the school I went to, all that I absorbed that was not right has to go. Oh, well, you know, we were raised in the South, so we have to act like cowboys. Who says? Maybe I'd act like a Christian.
Amen.
Oh, we were, you know, we came from this situation, and this is just the way we do it. Well, is it God's way? Is it right? Well, I just think it. Okay. When we're healed, do you know what? If all of us were healed, we would all have the same opinion.
That's right.
About spiritual matters. We would think alike. We would have the same judgment. God says it. That's what He wants us to do. To grow up, to come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man. To where we all have the same judgment, the same evaluation. We all, now it doesn't mean we're going to all be clones, but on spiritual matters, God's viewpoint of our worldview and all that, we are going to think like Jesus thought.
Yes.
We're going to look at it through His eyes. And until that happens, we're not healed.
Right.
Until we all have godly stewardship and godly attitudes, and till we're all operating optimum. Our children are all obedient the way they should be. Our marriages are all harmonizing the way they should be. The church families are all harmonizing one with another. We love one another as Christ loved us. That's a command. We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, our neighbors, ourselves, and the brethren as Jesus loved His disciples. Have we arrived? Are we there? There's a lot of healing that needs to take place. Jesus is still looking out. He's still looking. He still wants to heal. He still wants to perfect that which is lacking. He wants to see the church operating harmoniously. Unity, purity, love, virtue, charity. He wants to see all that in action. And what hinders it? Self-imposed limitations. I'm good enough. I've learned enough. I try hard enough. I'm smart enough. I'm spiritual enough. I'm mature enough. I'm forgiving enough. I'm teachable enough. That's what hinders it. His people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, and lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What does He want to heal in you? How far can He take you? I was talking with a brother not so long ago concerning some people we were counseling and dealing and with, and a family, whatnot. I've said this 100 times, but I've said it once, that we are going to take them as far as they will let us take them. You know, you see a new family coming in. They say, I want to be a part of this church. And you look at their life, and you look at them from your vantage point spiritually and say, well, there's a lot of healing that needs to take place here. I don't know that they fully understand all the things that need to come into line. You know, I think they're blind to a lot of the things that need fixed. But we will bring them along as far as they will allow us. We will teach them the Word. We'll show them the Word. We'll see. We'll bring them along spiritually until they start digging in their heels. Until they start closing their eyes and their ears and say, enough, enough! I don't want to be extreme. So they start evaluating the church as extreme compared to their evaluation of things. And then they leave. Well, we brought them as far as we could bring them. We led them as far as they would be led. We taught them as much as they were willing to be taught. Well, don't you know the difference between what we see in their life from where we're at and where they're at is so minuscule compared to what Jesus sees. When He looks at us, He looks at you. And Him and the Father say, we'll bring them along as far as they're willing to go. We'll teach them as much as they're willing to be taught. We will sanctify them as much as they are willing to be sanctified. And when they get to the place where they dig in the heels, where they close their eyes, they shut their ears, when they say, no, that's enough, I'm not going any farther, then we can't do no any more with them. Then we have to cut them off. We brought them as far as they could go. What's God looking at in your life? Are you willing to go just as far as He's willing to go? Are you willing to be perfected just as much as He's wanting to perfect you? Are you willing to be polished and scrubbed and sanded and tweaked and adjusted as far as God wants to take you? Well, that's what it's going to take. He chastens every son whom He receiveth. And why? That we might be partakers of His holiness. If you ever hear yourself saying, as far as I'm going to go. If you ever hear yourself saying, I'm good enough. If you ever hear yourself saying, I know as much as I need to know. If you ever catch yourself saying, I don't have to be that good. I don't have to polish that part of my life. I'm all right. Woe. Woe unto you. When God pricks your heart, when a brother or sister says something, when somebody points to an area in your life, when something is brought to your attention, have your ears open. Have your eyes open. Have your heart open. God may bring it through your little brother or your little sister. God may bring it to that person in the church who you think you're so much greater than or no more than. God's going to bring it. He's going to give you some light. Is your heart going to be gross and sluggish? Are your ears going to be covered? Are your eyes going to be closed? Or are you looking to be perfected? God is trying to heal you. He didn't ever tell you who He's going to send the medicine through. He didn't tell you that He's only going to deliver the medicine through certain people. He'll deliver the medicine wherever He sees that it's best.
That's right.
The question is, am I anxious enough for the medicine that that's not going to get in the way?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that still needs to be healed. There's a lot that needs healed. As we spoke of this morning, the closer you get to God, the more you see the vastness of His ways, the perfection of His ways, and suddenly you feel the imperfection of your ways. Do you want to be healed? Every family who has come here, stayed a while and left, it was this scenario right here. We brought them as far as we could bring them. There was a catch. A self-imposed limit. They weren't going to move beyond it. We can see it in others. Are we willing to see it in ourselves? I want to challenge you. Put it at the top of your prayer list. Heal me completely. Lord, heal me completely. Help me to put off all of the old man. Help me to put on all of the new man. I'm willing to change my way of raising children to your way. I'm willing to change my way of running my house to your way. I'm willing to change my way of responding to my authority to your way. That's where it's going to get down to where the rubber meets the road. It might get down to where you got to give up your way of giving a spanking and do it His way. One's going to work and one's not. Jesus looks at your house. He looks at your life. He looks at your finances. He looks at your trashy bedroom. He looks at your unkept possessions, whatever, lack of character, lack of discipline, whatever it is. And God says, I want to heal that. I want to heal that. He watches you avoiding work, dodging responsibilities. God says, I want to heal that. All of it. Your lack of concern for souls. Your spiritual laziness. There's so much healing that God wants to do. But we've got to commit to it. It's not a passive thing. We've got to be open to hearing and seeing and understanding and then acting upon it to be healed. Let's stand. I often ask myself when I was a young man and I was seeing things in the Bible that just did not line up with the churches I was raised in. And I would look at these aged men with mega churches all around me who'd been my spiritual mentors and heroes. And I would ask myself, didn't they ever see this? Didn't they ever read that verse? Were they not ever confronted with this crossroad? How is it that they are still preaching that and living that and in this denomination? How is it that they've never seen this? Their eyes were closed. Their ears were closed. They had already arrived at where they wanted to be. They were already getting what they wanted to get. They had already enlisted God in their agenda, and everything was just the way they wanted it. Why change? Why adjust? Why mess things up? That's a bad place to be. That's where Israel was when the Messiah came. And that's why they crucified their Messiah. Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?